Praise the Lord for great, great songs. And those that are able to sing the great songs. That's a tremendous blessing. What a blessing to be here on Monday night. And I trust you had a great day rejoicing in the Lord. And we had the great opportunity to be in school, of course, this morning. And we'll be there again tomorrow in school as well. It's great to give praise to the Lord. It's wonderful to be saved and be born again. I told young people this morning, it's an adventure. It's the greatest adventure in life to live for the Lord and serve Him and to realize that we're a child of the King. Redeemed, redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Now, if you have your Bibles tonight, turn with the book of James. James, the second chapter. And I want to begin reading with verse number 14 and read through verse number 20. So if you have your Bible, open it up and follow along. I like to have people look in the Bible so that they can see the words and hear the words. I think of it years ago when I would mention that for people to turn in their Bible. A dear couple in the auditorium got very angry with me. They did not believe that you should bring the Bible with you to church. And they said, "Don't you believe the preacher? Don't you believe him that you have to follow along in the Bible?" And they were very upset. They were saved people, but very upset about it. But I like to have people look at it and see the words as well as hear the words as we're able to read from the wonderful Word of God. James chapter 2 and verse 14. "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads before thee tonight, asking for your blessing. Lord, we've read your word, and we want that the Spirit of God will take your word and apply it to our hearts tonight and challenge each person that's here tonight, the boys and girls, the teenagers, the adults. May we have ears to hear and hearts to understand the wonderful truth that's spoken of in this passage of Scripture. And we'll praise you and love you. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, we live in a confusing world. And I'm sure you can identify with that truth. And I illustrate it this way. It's a day of invitation. For instance, when you ladies go to the grocery store and you're looking for butter, you have to look close. Is it the real thing? Yeah. It may look like it. It may taste like it. But is it real? You may go, for instance, and you're looking for some lunch meat. And you want turkey. You have to look close. Is it real? Or is it imitation? Imitation. It's very confused. It may taste like, it may look alike, but it's not the real thing. Now, dear friends tonight, we live in a day when the subject of faith in Jesus Christ is one of the most misunderstood subjects in religious circles. People do not understand the truth of the Word of God. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy 13 and verse number 5, "Examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate." And in the message tonight, I want to challenge you concerning the real thing. Because in Wisconsin, and I pastored a good number of years in this state, and people thought that they had the real thing, but it wasn't real. It was an imitation. It was an imitation. It was not real. But as we look into the Scripture, God gives us some guidelines as to know if we have the real thing. Number one, saving faith. the real thing produces change. The real thing produces change. And it's absolutely important, dear friends tonight, that everybody in light of eternity have the real thing. And I believe if you're honest, you'd like to know, do I have the real thing? Do I have saving faith? Or is it just an imitation? Now, there is such a thing spoken of in the scripture of saying faith. Simply saying it. And I see that here in James chapter 2. What does it profit, my brother, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? A man may say it, but there's no change. There's no difference in their life whatsoever. It's simply words that come out of their mouth. They say it. And several times in this passage of Scripture, it mentions that. Verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead. It's dead. It's nothing more than empty. That's all it is. In Luke chapter 18, we have the picture there of two men that are in the temple praying. And one was a Pharisee. And the Pharisee is standing there, of course, praying and bragging on all that he had done with his mouth. And he simply said, look over there. I'm not like that publican over there. But there was another person there praying. That publican beat his chest and said, God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that man had the real thing. That Pharisee did not have the real thing. Did not have the real thing. And how true today. Dear friends, people today that have saying faith substitute words for deeds. They know the correct vocabulary and even prayer and sometimes testimony. But their lives do not measure up with their talk. Dear friends, if we have the real thing, saving faith, there's going to be change. It's as simple as that, according to the Word of God. A girl went up to the Sunday school teacher and asked this question, how can I be a Christian and still have my own way? And the Sunday school teacher gave her the scripture found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And that's true. There's going to be a difference. Now, dear friends, how can I know that I have the real thing? How can I know that? How can I know that? Well, number one, in order to have the real thing, we must acknowledge that we're sinners. Nobody's going to get saved without acknowledging the fact that they're sinners. And I see all across the country this matter of only believe. Believe what? What do you believe? It says in this passage, the devil believes and trembles. For instance, a lady went to the preacher in one of these large entertainment centers and said, how do I become a member of this church? The preacher said, just believe. Then the dear lady said, well, how can I become a teacher in this church? He said, just believe. And the lady said to this preacher, how about if a homosexual, someone that has that type of lifestyle, those queer individuals, how about them? Can they become a member? Can they teach in this class? He said, if they believe. Believe what? And I see that emphasis. Only believe. Now, dear friend, it says in the Bible, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But what is involved in that belief? Number one, nobody will ever get saved unless they realize they're lost. Right. Repent of their sin, realize that they're lost. Then secondly, we need to acknowledge that Jesus Christ died on that cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood for me and for you that we might be saved. Born again. Now, dear friend, I use my hand sometimes to illustrate this. Let's say this hand represents the fact that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. This hand represents the fact that God loves us and Jesus died on the cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood. Now, dear friend, you can believe these two things and go straight to hell. There has to come a time when the sinner accepts the Savior. And the Savior accepts the sinner. And when that transaction takes place, it becomes saving faith. Both is important. The sinner must accept. The Savior must accept. And we become one, born again into the family of God. That becomes the real thing. Saving faith. And that kind of faith produces change. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's important. That's the first step. Saving faith, the real thing, is going to produce change inside and outside. And if there's no change, he doesn't live inside. Now, dear friend, I ask you tonight, do you have the real thing? Or do you have a saying faith? Is there a demonstration in your life that you have the real? There's change. There's a difference in your life. And you're absolutely for sure tonight that you have real thing. You need to be, because every 10 seconds, 26 people die. And we need to make sure we have the real thing. Now, the second thing I want to see is living faith. Living faith produces commitment. Now, there are individuals that are saved. They have the real thing. But their faith is not really alive because there's no commitment. And there's two words that I like to use in explaining this. Number one, a living faith is a pertinent faith. In other words, bearing upon, to apply the case at hand, a faith that is evidenced by action. By action. There's commitment. And that's what I read here in James chapter 2. I read, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead. If there's no commitment, it's dead. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, because we need to believe in him and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's living. Hebrews chapter 11. Great, great passage concerning Moses. And I dealt with this a bit in chapel this morning. And by faith, he refused. By faith, he chose. By faith, he esteemed. By faith, he forsook. It was a living faith. There was commitment. Now, not only is it a pertinent, it's precious. It's a precious faith. It's precious. And the Bible talks about to them that have obtained like precious faith. Now, precious gives evidence. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. That's true, isn't it? You can say amen once in a while if you want to.
Amen.
And it's wonderful. You know, it's like marriage. You know, marriage is wonderful. It's thrilling. I know the old devil wants to destroy it, but it's wonderful. And I remember so well when I married that young lady sitting back there tonight. Great, great experience of my life. I'm going to a Bible college. She's going to another Bible college. And they had ice skating rink and so on there at Loring Park in Minneapolis. And I was with some friends and she was with some friends and so on. And I saw a dear lady. Boys like what they see. Girls like what they hear. And I like what I saw. And she was skating, ice skating, hand in hand with a fellow. So I said, would you find out if that young lady over there is going serious with that fellow? And so they found out, and lo and behold, she was not serious. So I said, great. So I started there. I started greater. I mean, it was the 4th of July. We decided that we'd go in the northern part of this state to St. Croix Falls, and we'd rent a boat and get some fishing gear and go out fishing. I worked nights when I went to college and so on. The 4th of July was an opportunity to go, and we went out on that lake. And it was so hot. It was so hot. I mean, the fish were smart. They were down at the bottom. And finally, we decided to give it up. We took the boat back and the fishing gear back and got in the car. And we headed going west on Highway 8 to St. Croix Falls. And as we got down the road just a little bit, bang, had a flat tire. Now, when you're going together, that's not that bad. I opened up the trunk. And jacked the thing up and got that spare on and threw the flat one back there in the trunk again and got in the car and drove a few miles down the road, a little few miles down the road, and bang! Had another flat tire. Now I had a problem. So we took the flat one out of the trunk and we rolled it to St. Croix Falls and we got the thing fixed. We found a fellowship was home, got the thing fixed, rolled it back. Got the car jacked up, got that one on, threw the flatwood back in the trunk, and drove just about to St. Croix Falls, and bang! Had another flat tire. Three flat tires on the 4th of July. Finally got back to Loring Park, and seated there by Loring Park, I turned to that young lady, and I said, I want to ask you a question. Would you marry me? You see, I went to school by faith. And I said, would you marry me? I said, you don't have to answer right away. I'm going to be a preacher, whatever God wants me to be. And it didn't take her long. And we were married. We were married. Hard to believe, but it's true now. We were married 62 years ago in the First Baptist Church of St. Cloud. And marriage has been wonderful. Men, say amen. Amen. It's great. You see, dear friend, when we got married, we made commitments. We made commitments. And dear friend, if you're saved tonight and your faith is alive, there needs to be commitment to obey the Lord and to do what He wants you to do. That ought to be the desire of your heart. And dear friend, if you believe in Him, then you ought to have faith in the Bible to read it every day. If you have faith in Him, there ought to be prayer. A time when you spend in prayer and you come out to the weekly prayer meeting. And listen, if you have faith in God and it's living, then you ought to be a member of a church like this one. And listen, if you believe and have faith in the gospel, then you ought to tell somebody about it. It needs to be alive. Not dead, but alive. And there are so many people today. They claim they're saved, but their faith's not alive. There's no commitment to the Lord. To the Lord. And there needs to be that dedication, the commitment, as we reach out in our community, as we reach out in the neighborhood, as we reach out in our city, to have commitment because we have a faith that's alive. That's what it's about. Then the third kind of faith, we need to have a dying faith. Now, nobody here that I know of has a dying faith, because that's going to come when you die. I've just finished a book, thick book, about Judson, the missionary to Burma. I tell you, when I read about him going to Burma and going through the experiences that he went through and the loss of his wife and the loss of his children and the heartache and the heartache and the heartache, but he had a living faith. And when death came, he had to die in faith. A dying faith. And a dying faith produces a crown. Produces a crown. Psalms 116 verse 50. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It's a comforting faith. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 to 4 and verse 8. For we know that if our earthly house of this type were dissolved, we have a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in heaven. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. When that day comes, if we have a saving faith, if we have a living faith, that dying faith is going to produce a crown. I think tonight of a little man, Albert Partion. I've been in Beirut, Lebanon. And I called at his home and with his parents. But Beirut, Lebanon came all the way over to the States, gloriously got saved. Just a little short fellow. Gloriously got saved. And after he got saved, it was so evident, his salvation, that when you talk to him, say, Albert, how's it going? He'd raise his finger like this and say, praise God. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. But Albert Partion came down with an incurable disease. He was in the hospital. It was my privilege to go there and stand by his bed in the hospital. And his whole bed was covered with a tent. With a tent. And I stood by his bed and said, Albert, how's it going? How's it going? And he mumbled with his lips. Held up his finger, said, praise God, it's okay. It's okay. He got out of the hospital, came back to church, was a vibrant testimony. But that disease gradually got a hold of him, got a hold of him, got a hold of him, and finally wound up in the hospital again. And it was my privilege to go to the hospital once again to see him. As I walked into the room, the nurse said to him, Albert cannot speak. He cannot move a muscle. He cannot move his eyeballs. He cannot move his eyelids. He cannot move, period, the nurse told me. But I stood beside his bed. Said, Albert, how's it going? And the nurse was standing there and said, I told you, he can't move. He can't say anything. But I said, Albert, how's it going? And with all the strength that Albert Partion had, I saw his finger begin to raise. He said, praise God. It's okay. And a few minutes later, he closed his eyes in death. See, he had the real thing. He had the real thing. How about you tonight? Do you have a saying faith? No, it's not going to do it. You've got to have a saving faith. You have a faith that's alive. There's commitment involved to the one that redeemed you and saved you in obedience and dedication. And then when death knocks at your door, you'll have a dying faith. That produces a crown. Mine's tremendous. You see, dear friend, it's not the hallelujahs that count before him, but a godly life that's lived in dedication. That's what counts. A godly life. And dear friend, a brother gave me a little bottle of honey. I don't know much about bees. Much about them. But you know, I learned something about bees. Drones are the male bees. They make more noise than the worker bees, though they make neither honey nor wax. And I'm afraid in our churches, we've got a lot of drone bees. Where's the honey? Where's the wax? Where's the difference that we need in our own heart and life? Hebrews 9, verse 27, it's appointed that a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Dear friend, it's important that we have the real thing. We have the real thing. And as we have the real thing, we have commitment that we're going to live for Him and be obedient to Him. Don't argue with Him. Don't argue with God about baptism. Don't argue with God about church membership. Don't argue about giving, getting victory in your life. Don't argue with God. Simply obey Him. And have that living faith of commitment. And then when death knocks at your door, like Albert Parion, it's okay. It's okay. Praise God. I close with this illustration. When we're home and off the road, we go to the First Baptist Church in Lafayette, Colorado. There's a dear lady in that church for years has played the piano. Faithful. Playing the piano. One Sunday she was playing the piano and her husband was an usher. And they came forward and collected the offering plates and so on. And instead of bringing the plates forward, they would take them in the pastor's office. So he came out of the pastor's office after they took the offering and sat in the back pew. And she's playing. She's playing the instrument. And all of a sudden, her husband sitting back there drops dead in the pew. They called, of course, the ambulance to come and whatnot, carried him out. That dear lady, after that funeral, still dedicated to play that piano, still dedicated at every service, though it was hard sometimes for her to get up the stairs. She was always there. And I've had the privilege to call on her. And I suppose the last time the pastor and I called on her and had prayer, she said, "Preacher, I want to give you something." She went in the back room in the bedroom and got her Bible, brought her Bible out and said, "Pastor, I want to give you my Bible. I don't have any need for it anymore." And the pastor said, no, I don't want to take your Bible. She said, "You don't understand. Inside the Bible is the obituary. Inside the Bible is the order of service. I do not have any need for it. Would you please take it?" He took the Bible, took it back, laid it on the desk, and got the call. Dear Mrs. James had gone home to be with the Lord. I miss her. I still want to pray for her. She had a saving faith, a living faith, and a dying faith. How about you tonight? Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'll not embarrass you, I'll not point you out. But I'm so concerned. My heart is so burdened about people that simply have a saying faith and it's not the real thing. And they're in our churches and out of our churches. And heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many of you, dear, wonderful folk tonight, as you look into your heart, you say, "Yes, I have the real thing. I know when I was redeemed. I know when I was born again. I know that He lives within my heart." If you know that for sure, now don't lie about it. But if you know that for sure tonight, there's a testimony right now. Slip your hand up. Just raise your hands. God bless you. That's wonderful. Put your hands down. Isn't it wonderful just to raise a hand to the Savior? Perhaps you're here tonight, you didn't raise your hand. Would you let me pray for you? You say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I have the real thing." Would you pray for me? You'll slip your hand up. Someone like that in this auditorium, boy or girl, teenager, adult, "I'm not sure I have the real thing." Would you pray for me? Anyone tonight? As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, are there those here tonight you say, yes, I know I'm saved, but there are some commitments that I need to make. Maybe it's baptism. Maybe it's church membership. Maybe it's victory over sin. There's something in your light and heart that grieves the Spirit of God. And tonight, I'd like to pray for you and pray with you. And you'll slip your hand up. I see those hands. I see them. God bless you. Yes, there's some things that I need to deal with and take care of. Some commitments I need to make. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. Some commitments. I do not need to know what it is, but you know what it is. And you slip your hand up and place it in the hand of the Savior. Someone else tonight, I see those hands. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, speak to hearts tonight. And as we sing invitation song, help folk tonight that raise their hand, that need to make some commitment. Help them to slip out of that pew, lay aside the pride, slip out of that pew and come down this aisle and stand or kneel here at this altar and say, Lord, I've come tonight to make some commitments. I need to be forgiven. Speak to hearts tonight, and we rejoice and give praise to Thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.